League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here tonight. Lots of good fun stuff here. We're getting set. The Gorgeous Gale today. Man, they must have been very sad over at the Gorgeous Gale today, the Liverpool fans who went there to watch the game against Leicester City. It was Jamie Vardy. It's Vardy Mania. It's Leicester City. It's one of the biggest stories in the world. And in studio now, joining us, the one and only Eddie Robinson. Eddie, thank you for coming in tonight. My TV partner, and you know him as the former defender for the Houston Dynamo. This guy won four MLS Cups. That's pretty impressive. Eddie, thank you for coming in tonight. You're a trooper. I know you're not feeling that good.
Thank you very much for having me. Anytime I can get in here, you know I enjoy coming
Anything we can do for you? Shot of vodka?
A little shoulder massage. I mean,
All right, well, let's wait till the break here. Mr. DJ Sun, he is Andre, my good friend. The sun is shining. That's his Twitter handle. He joins us here. Andre, thank you for being in studio here
tonight. Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
It's always good.
Is this one on? Or
it is on.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. We're going to get you a headset to your right there, so put those on.
Yeah.
You know, you probably weren't listening to the show because I know you're such a busy guy, a big-time DJ, but I was putting it out over the airwaves that I was going to stick it to you a little bit about the decline in the Dutch Eredivisie because Andre's from Suriname and is a big fan, and really is up on what happens in the Netherlands. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I'm going to throw it out to you now, a real simple one off the top here, because this was what I threw out to the listeners tonight. We got some response. What are you most excited to see this summer out of these three events? European Championships, Copa Centenario here in the United States, or the Olympics when it comes to world football? Start with you, Andre.
Man, I'm anticipating the European Championship, of course. You know, a lot of exciting players are going to be there. Very disappointed that the Dutch didn't make it.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. I was just talking to a friend about that class that came through and took him to the World Cup finals a couple of times. And that class is no longer there. We don't know if anybody else is going to step up to provide that type of quality. So it'll be curious to see. But yeah, the European Championship, I'm really looking forward to.
European Championships now. Eddie, how about your thoughts?
Copa Centenario for me. The U.S. gets to play in it. A lot of American fans are going to get the opportunity to see the likes of Messi, Neymar, players that they only see on TV. I'm excited to see the U.S. Go against some really quality sides. I'm really excited to see what Jurgen Klinsmann does. I mean, for me, obviously, it'd be one of the farthest reaches ever to expect the United States to win this thing. But if they just bomb out and lose every game, I'm hoping that Sunil Gulati mans up and moves on. I think that's so important for Jurgen Klinsmann.
Let's talk about Klinsmann. The U.S. had a nice January camp win over Iceland. We remember they were here 2 years ago, and it was the biggest yawner. I remember doing this game. Taylor Twellman and I did this, and Alexi Lawless did the U.S.-Canada. It was, you know, the January camp opener. God, Canada didn't come to play. They sat back. It was just an utter bore. And nobody was at the game here at BBVA. But the Iceland win 3-2. We did see some youth, as one of our callers pointed out, Kellen Acosta, FC Dallas. Guys getting an opportunity, Jordan Morris, that would make us hopeful, right?
Definitely. You know, what I liked was the fact that Jozy Altidore looks really, really good. And apparently leaned down a little bit, lost a few pounds. scored that goal, of course. That's encouraging. And then like you said, a lot of youth coming up. But that's been going on for the last couple of years. Clint's been really trying to infuse younger players, but we haven't seen anybody just stand out just yet.
Eddie?
This is the opportunity. I've been in my share of January camps.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to mention. Eddie has been in the January camp, so you understand it from a different
Bob
perspective.
Bob Bradley and Bruce Arena as well. And it's obviously the opportunity for guys that play in MLS, maybe Scandinavian teams who are in their offseason, to get an opportunity that they wouldn't normally get. In the past, Bob Bradley, Bruce Arena, when guys have come in and done well in January camps, this has given them opportunity. Now you look at Steve Birnbaum. I mean, who saw that coming? I sure didn't.
Right.
His performance was outstanding. Great goal, great assist. Now does Jurgen Klinsmann give him another chance? You know, there's a lot of hype now over Christian Pulisic in Germany. Is he going to get a chance this summer?
By the way, is a 17-year-old who debuted for Dortmund this past weekend. If you watch him, he looks mature beyond his years before we anoint him the next coming of Landon Donovan.
Exactly. And then Matt Miazga. What's his experience going to be like at Chelsea?
Let me go back to what you said about January camps, because to me, January camps, I know, you know, a lot of times everybody makes fun Camp Cupcake and all that, but you can go to that camp and lose, okay? If you don't go there and produce and perform as a Kellen Acosta or a young guy, you could be lost, and it's a captive opportunity for you in training to be in front of a manager. So as much as people want to kind of downplay it, yeah, the results don't matter. Of course they don't matter. But for guys like Kellen Acosta, it's a chance to ID yourself in front of a staff and a manager.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, he made a big point of bringing in the kids from the Olympics, for the Olympic qualifier. I mean, that's huge. That's so important for him. He wasn't planning on having to do that. I think it forced his hand.
Yeah, it's a little. That's right. That's a great point, because underlying there is prepping for the Olympics. And by the way, we just found out where the second leg of that is going to be, at Toyota Park up in Frisco, Texas. So that's pretty exciting for us down here in Texas. By the way, there was another German-American, a 22-year-old, Jerome Kaiswetter, who has played for the under-20 national team, is at Stuttgart, who also got minutes in this game and was impressive as well. Why all the hate on the German-Americans with Klinsmann? What's the big deal?
You know, I mean, I don't see it. They're Americans.
Why do fans? I mean, everybody in the world does it, Andre.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you see it with the Dutch team as well. That's my example, of course. They use. Yeah,
where would the Netherlands be without Suriname?
Well, Suriname and the Dutch Antilles as well. You know, I mean. That's what the international game is about now. You know, you've got gentlemen like Mario Alta Balotelli, almost reversed his name there, who comes from Africa and ends up playing in Italy because of an adoption process, etc. But this is the international game. There shouldn't be any hate towards that. If you have claim to an American citizenship, why not play for the U.S.?
Eddie, why do you think fans get a little upset at Klinsmann with all the German-Americans that have been identified? Wouldn't that have been something we would have been excited about, that he might be able to identify some other players once he was getting the job?
If the team was succeeding week in and week out, if the team was, you know, winning the Gold Cup and doing all these things, qualifying for the Olympics, then absolutely. I mean, but if you think about it, in his defense, no matter what industry you're in, when you're trying to succeed, you're going to have groups of people that you know well and you trust their opinion more than you trust anybody else's. His network's Germany, all the people that he knows there. And, you know, the military base is there. There's a lot of kids that grow up are born there to American parents, and that play in an environment that soccer is everything to everyone 24/7. The kids that grow up in the U.S., it's not like that. It's soccer after school for a couple hours. It's soccer on the weekend for a couple hours. Then it's girls, it's parties, it's Xbox. It's these kids grow up in an environment. They're mentally tough. A lot of American kids, especially in this day, are tremendously weak when it comes to mental toughness. And I think Jurgen Klinsmann's trying to send a message.
Yeah. We can go back. David Wagner, you can go back to the 90s. Mm-hmm. David Wagner was a German-American. There was Thomas Dooley. I mean, there were others.
Yeah, the French, David Regi, he was French, right?
Regi was a last-minute add to that unbelievably blown up 98 World Cup. That was a big struggle for the U.S. 713-780-3776. You want to join the conversation here? DJ Sun in studio, as well as Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender, now carving out a career in television. Let's go to the phone lines. AJ, you want to join the fray here? What's on your mind, AJ?
Hello?
AJ, you're on the air. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Just a really good fan of soccer, and I just want to talk a little bit about the Barclays Premier League game today, the main event, Leicester City with Liverpool. I just wanted to, you know, share a little bit of thoughts.
The platform is yours.
I'm sorry?
The platform is yours. Fire away.
All right. Yeah, you know, I was really excited for this one. You know, Leicester City is just like Cinderella right now, you know, at the flying high. And, you know, I just thought, man, of all teams right now, the one that could really put something on the table was Liverpool. And, I mean, I was a little disappointed in Liverpool. You know, Jamie Vardy, that was a brilliant shot. I mean, I was really impressed. You know, it just, he keeps going. It just, he doesn't stop. And, you know, that was so, you know, I give a lot of credit to Leicester City. I mean, that's just remarkable how they just keep going. But
well, there you just brought something up, because everybody said they were gonna flare out like a firework,
exactly.
And they said it was gonna happen after, you know, the new year. They would begin to show when they played some of the bigger clubs. They survived them all. So I guess I'll ask you the question, AJ, that people have been asking me tonight, which is, do you think they can win? Do you think they can win the Premier League title? Do they have the staying power?
You know, I think they can if they keep it up, because I'm a City fan, and, you know, I really want City to win and all that, but I think they have a lot on their table. You know, they're still in four cups, so I think, you know, they're going to have a lot of distraction, and, you know, I don't want any more injuries to come, but I think that can happen in Man City. And Leicester City, though, they only have one cup, right, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they have everything in the script, you know. They just have to keep playing well and win all their games, and then, you know, they can do it. They can really do it. I'm going to be
well, listen, here's the other thing people said. The minute Jamie Vardy gets injured, this team's done. And Jamie Vardy got injured, and they rode through that. They continued to get results. There's more than Jamie Vardy there, I think we have to understand. And there's also a very brilliant manager in Claudio Ranieri. AJ, thank you very much for weighing in tonight. I appreciate you bringing up Leicester City and Jamie Vardy.
All right, you have a good night.
Yeah, you too. All right, so Andre, you heard AJ there. AJ is talking Leicester. Can they win the title?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, when the manager steps up and says, hey, we're going to start talking about that, that's when you know he sees something something concrete that lends him to believe that, you know what, we're going to do this. Usually you don't see that happening. And he made a statement. He said, you know what, this is no longer Cinderella. I think we have a serious chance.
Eddie, you know Claudio Ranieri from all the years of his great management. Isn't it fun to see a guy who's older, who some thinks his managerial career is probably over, he's never going to rise to great heights again, leading these guys?
Well, you got to look at in situations in sports, whether it's the Premier League, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, there's a lot of pressure on coaches to stick to a game plan. But when the game plan doesn't work, they're very quick to change it because they're under so much pressure and they question themselves. He's never questioned himself. He set it up that only game that matters is the next one. He's got the players on board. He says no games matter anymore except for Man City, their next game. Man City, that's the only game that matters. And the fact that he's been able to stay the course and keep that game plan going and get the players to buy in. Watching that game today after Vardy's first goal, Chris Waddle, who was doing the color analysis, said there's something about confidence in a player that will do wonders for him, that no matter how good you are, no matter how much quality you have, if you're flying and just full of confidence like Vardy is right now, there's nothing's going to stop you. Now, I'm not sure that Liverpool's the best measuring stick when Roberto Firmino is non-existent as he was today. When he's on, I think they're a little bit better measuring stick of where Leicester City is. But that Man City game, I think, is going to tell us all we need to know.
Yeah, and you still got to beat them. Listen, they've gotten points off the big clubs. They've been competitive in every game with big clubs. They've gotten points. They've been spectacular. And Yeah, today Arsenal and Southampton tied 0-0. Manchester City won 1-0 over Sunderland. So, I mean,
good ones tomorrow.
But here's the one I'm putting my eye on. Tottenham Hotspur, I also think, can win the league title. And I think they've got, along with Ranieri, the other most brilliant manager of the year in Mauricio Pochettino, the Argentine. Andre?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen much of Tottenham Hotspurs this season. But I know that they've been doing pretty well. If they remain consistent, they may have a chance as well.
Harry Kane has been leading the way there. Dele Alli has provided some great moments. I don't know how consistent he's been, but he's scored some ridiculously good goals. But this is a manager that every time I hear that guy interviewed, Pochettino, I'm just going, God, who wouldn't want to play for this guy?
Well, and you look at Tottenham and you look at Leicester City, and you see two teams, I think, that the players aren't worried about the individual spotlight. You know, Mahrez doesn't care that Jamie Vardy's kind of the guy right now, even though Mahrez is having an unbelievable year, and there's not a team in the league that wouldn't have him. You've got Eriksen, you've got Dele Alli. That these are two teams that they're about the group, and as cliche as that sounds, that's how you win championships, especially in such a pressure-packed environment that you can go into the locker room, you can go onto the training field, and you can push that away, and you can just be a group with the same goal and the same energy. And those two, for me, that's their difference. They don't have the cockiness of a Manchester City, of a Manchester United.
Is Manchester? Yeah, Manchester City. I thought you were going to say Manchester United's cocky, and I was about to say about what?
Come on. You can't tell me those guys don't put on that jersey and go out every day and say, I'm the man because I'm playing for Manchester United. That's why they're not successful as they have been in the past, because Alex Ferguson was able to control those egos.
Did Alex leave the cover? Listen, how dare anybody criticize Sir Alex, because he is the greatest manager. I don't know how you can argue him not being the greatest manager in club history. He certainly has to be in the discussion, but did he leave the cupboard a little bit bare there? I mean, in his final year, do you think it was all about Sir Alex just making sure they won the Premier League so he goes out with his legacy on top? We all know he's United through and through.
I don't think so.
No, I
don't think so. I think after he left, there were some setbacks. There was, you know, Robin van Persie didn't have the season that he did under Alex, Sir Alex. I don't think that's a fair assessment. I think he was just a good, amazing manager who could really rally the troops and rally all those personalities and egos, like Eddie was alluding to. You know, you've got to be able to keep all of that in check. And that's a good testimony to the managers you just mentioned from Tottenham and Mr. Ranieri. They keep it well together. You know, you see Jamie Vardy doing really well, but he's contained. You're not going to see him in the press saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing.
They're interesting managers too, Eddie, because they're not like a Mourinho or a Van Gaal, who are so up front, and it's almost like they're bigger than the teams. And we'll talk about that when we come back from break, because I hear the break music here, which means Tyler Scott wants me to take a break. Also want to thank David Philpott for helping me get that Bob Bradley interview done. We're going to talk some Bob Bradley too, because I had an interesting interview with him. You guys may not have heard it tonight. Part one. But we'll talk about Bob Bradley, because that interview was very revealing to me, and I'm gonna tell you why I think so, and I want to hear your reaction as well. 713-780-3776. Join the fun with me, DJ Sun in studio, former Dynamo defender, broadcast partner Eddie Robinson here as well. We'll take a break. We're going to call it a Bud Light break, and Bud Light reminds you to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Catch a Dynamo, catch all the action that's down there at BBVA Compass Stadium with like-minded individuals. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens. And Bud Light reminds you, it is the summer of soccer here in Houston. Bud Light, tremendous sponsors, the best sponsors, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gao Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
And by the way, it was Tottenham Hotspur 3 at Norwich City 0. Goal scorers, Dele Alli. Second minute, Harry Kane. Can't hit from the penalty spot. Rising talents. We welcome you back, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit was in studio here tonight. And again, we thank the Daspit Law Firm for supporting soccer, helping put it on the air, as we do all our sponsors. Bud Light, The Gorgeous Gale, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. We thank all of them. Amigo Energy. This is what gets this program on the air. So when you're out there making your choices with your dollars, think of those companies. But back to the Daspit Law Firm. They are personal injury attorneys. They handle personal injury cases, plant and refinery, medical, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler, right down to boat and car, to wrongful death. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. Now, with the Daspit Law Firm, you rest more assured in times of stress, knowing that you've got a hard-hitting attorney on your side, and he's going to be ready to fight for your right for compensation and comfort. Contact the Daspit Law Firm, supporters of the game of soccer and Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, 888-273-1045, both in English and Spanish. We thank the Daspit Law Firm. Welcome you back. We've got in studio. In some ways, your career has paralleled mine. You and me have been banging away at our careers for a long time, when we were once young.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you look younger than me, Andre. DJ Sun is in studio. I always call him Andre. Do you get thrown when I call you Andre?
A little bit, but you know it's all good.
Yeah, because most people call you Son, DJ Son.
You know, there was a point in my career where most people knew me as Son more than Andre.
Yeah,
and, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's what I respond to, right?
So, Son, if I had a one word name, what would my name be? Like, if I had a cool name like you, think about that one.
Put me on the spot. I'll think
Eddie,
about
it. Eddie, I'm looking at Eddie. I'm going, he's going to nail me here. He's just staring me down big time. Eddie Robinson in studio. Eddie and I did all the Dynamo games on Root Sports last year, as we are anticipating another good season here. Another rise for the Dynamo here in 2016. The rebuild continues. We welcome you back. And if you want to weigh in here, it's 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So, Bob Bradley, I know, Eddie, you heard the interview in the car on the way. Andre, you may not have, but we all know he took, after losing the U.S. job, goes and takes the Egypt job, tries to qualify them for a World Cup, goes to Norway, first division with Stabæk, and then now he's in France. He's in League Two trying to gain promotion for that club. They're, I think, in fourth place. But, Eddie, this is a guy that I got to give Bob Bradley amazing respect. Not that I didn't have it before, for taking risk. I mean, he's doing something American coaches have never done.
Well, Bob is, he's a very unique individual. He's a very unique personality. I've never seen anyone that calculates every word that comes out of his mouth like Bob does. I've never seen anyone that wants to learn as much about the game of soccer as he can. And I think he saw these as opportunities to learn as much as be successful in the coaching ranks. He knows that he has to do this. He knows that he has to take some scary jobs, some tough jobs, in order to get the respect he deserves. And hopefully we see him someday in the Premier League or the Bundesliga or French League One. My French is terrible, so I wasn't going to try to say it in French. But this is a guy who I have a tremendous amount of respect for what he's done, the decisions he's made. But it is who he is. It's all about his character. He's a great person and tells some great stories. And if anybody ever gets the chance, you just sit down and talk to him. I'd advise you do it.
So when Bruce Arena in the U.S. made big strides in the 2002 World Cup, the one thing I always said to myself, that Bruce Arena, through his personality, gave confidence to the American player at that time. With Landon Donovan, all those young guys, I thought Arena gave us some real confidence. In the case of Bob Bradley, as I lead this to you, Andre, and I'll come back to you, Eddie, on the Arena thing, you're an artist. Don't we all, you know, sometimes I sit around my house and I go, I need to break out. I need to do something different. I need to look at something differently. I need to look at this radio show differently. You know, I got to channel my inner David Bowie and find something a little different and unique to make sure that I don't get static, mediocre, stuck in my ways and the way I look at the sport. So, you know, like Bob Bradley does, you reach out, right? How do you do it in music?
Definitely. Well, you know, I lost a very dear friend last month, and one of the things that I talked about, he was an artist. He was a great artist in Houston as well. He continued to reinvent himself. It was Zen. Wally was his first name. Zen was his artist name. And, you know, the thing that I noticed, that I noted about him during a tribute was that he reinvented himself every turn of the way. And that's what Bob Bradley, I think, represents to me. You know, you don't necessarily take the paths that he's taken, one, at the stage of his career, two, at his age. He looks very strong, brings a lot of strength, but you don't really expect someone of his at the stage of his life, at the stage of his career, to go to the second division in France after taking an Egypt national job, which, you know, that's a scary proposition to go in as an American. Especially, I mean, he couldn't anticipate the Arab Spring, but it happened. And from what I understand, he remained there.
Not only did he remain there, he marched with the people because of the wrongdoings of the whole thing. Because there was a slaughter in one of the stadiums.
Wow.
He chose.
Wow.
He was watching his national team players, and he was not in that stadium, but that was a consideration, according to him. And he made sure he stayed in Cairo, and they watched the other game on TV. But he could very well have gone to that stadium.
Yep. Could be a very cliche thing to say, but it's going to make him a complete person, humanitarian, you know, when he does these things, reinvents himself. But that's also going to lend to a better career move in terms of, you know, knowing how to improve the game. And like Eddie was alluding to earlier, he's continuously learning the game, even at the stage of the career that he is.
Yeah, people should, but here's the other thing that he brings, I think, to the American coach. It's hope and possibility. He's doing things that no other American coaches have done. Maybe this is going to spur some MLS coaches to think beyond MLS and try to go overseas and get jobs in differing situations with differing challenges to broaden their experience. Because he can say right now, really, he's the only one who's ever done this. He's on the brink of trying to get a team promoted to the French League One. If Bob Bradley were to pull that off, this is an amazing, amazing story.
Well, it's not just in his time in France now. It goes back to Egypt. They're one game away from qualifying for the World Cup. You go to Stabæk.
Egypt, Norway, France.
What he did with Stabæk in Norway was unprecedented.
With less resources.
Yes, exactly. The guy's he's a tremendous talent. Like I said, he knows the game and he teaches the game. He understands the game. His analysis of your opponents when we were in camps and we would watch game tape was just it was awesome. He would point out so many little subtleties that you never really thought about, but once you did, it changed the way you look at the game. And he's been doing that, and I couldn't be more pleased for him.
Well, I think part of the story too, Andre, is when you have disappointment, it leads to other choices, other challenges. It makes you think differently, and maybe the timing of him being sacked by the U.S. national team ends up really being a great thing for Bob Bradley.
I think anything really would have been great for him because he's a strong character. It's a disappointment to be fired from that job, but you don't last in a job forever, you know, not in a national job anyway. So I think he was convinced that he was going to do well after anyway, and just keep going, you know.
Great story, Bob Bradley. We'll have a part two of that interview. That will be next week right here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. He gets more into talking about what he's doing in the French League. But very interesting, and I'll have more take after the interview on that because it's a couple of interesting things going on. Without a doubt, Bob knows he wants people in the U.S. to know what he's doing soccer-wise, and that's why I gave him the platform. I don't think there's any question. He also, I think, was pretty wounded when he lost the U.S. national team job. I think he's a very patriotic. He's a proud guy when it comes to his convictions and the sport in America. He represents great. I think we all recognize that. But I think he was wounded. And I think sometimes when you're wounded, a guy like him takes the wound and turns it into desire and more ambition and more achievement. And maybe that even propelled him to taking risk and going to some other countries to ply his trade and take those challenges, which we would expect him to take. And here he is. He's a trailblazer, in my opinion.
I can't think of another MLS coach that is mentally tough enough or confident enough in their abilities to take that risk, to actually do it. Say, I'm going to do it. I know that I can do it, so I'm going to go show everybody. I think a lot of MLS coaches are happy with how easy things are here. You know, like staying home. They take the it's the easy route. Bob Bradley will never take the easy route. That's, you know, I talked on earlier about his character and his personality. That's who he is. He's mentally tough and he's confident.
No doubt there'll be some MLS coaches listening to this show who will be thinking about what Bob's doing and have already thought about what Bob's doing. And I think that's great because if it stirs the pot, if it gets people thinking, if it gets some coaches to follow him there, why not? So that leads us to the very obvious next question. Why the prejudice against American coaches and why the prejudice in some ways and the looking down on Major League Soccer, Andre?
Well, I mean, we came to the game late professionally. You know, a number of these countries, I mean, all countries that are relevant have been have had professional leagues for decades prior to the U.S. Started.
All right, I get that. I get the whole history thing. We got that. But okay. I'm saying, look, around the world, Major League Soccer is better than a ton of leagues around the world, a lot of leagues. And a lot of those leagues are in South America when it comes to infrastructure, the way they take care of players, even though people say it's not enough money. Listen, South America, lots of countries in Europe, players are having problems even getting paid. You may not be getting paid as much, but you're going to get your paycheck. So why the perception that MLS is inferior? Because the whole world is inferior to Western Europe and the Bundesliga and the Serie A and La Liga and the Premier League. The whole world is.
MLS doesn't have to – the MLS coaches are still coaches. These kids come out of college and come to Major League Soccer, you still have to teach them how to play the game. The top leagues, Germany, Spain, France, England, Brazil, when those kids get to the first team, they know how to play the game. That's why they're called managers everywhere else in this world. They have to manage egos. They have to manage attitudes. They have to manage the locker room. They have to manage personalities. They have to manage injuries. They don't have to coach. You don't have to coach. You pick out your tactics for the team you're playing. You express that to your team. That's what you do. In the United States, you still have to coach. MLS coaches are not anywhere close to experienced enough man and ego managers, I don't think, to be successful at some. Now, Bruce Arena, maybe. I think he could be successful.
Well, Coyle's been in the Premier League.
But again, it was with a smaller team.
He was there.
But I don't think that most of the coaches in MLS have had enough experience with dealing with egos on a day-to-day basis.
Well, don't you think there's some MLS coaches that shy away from having name star quality players on their team because they don't want that challenge. They want to be able to control.
Yeah, of course.
You know, younger American players and keep that in check. They're afraid of that challenge. Bob Bradley never was. Coach Stoichkov, Coach Lubos Kubik, all those guys. We'll talk more about this. We come back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We'll take a 7-Up break, a Bud Light break. Bud Light, soccer fans, reminder, Bud Light is the official sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And Bud Light reminds you that, look, without them, you don't get to hear soccer on the radio. Bud Light reminds you, get down to the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium and Energy Stadium for the Copa Centenario. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light, we thank you. Take a break.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender in studio here, as well as TV analyst for the Houston Dynamo and on Root Sports last year. Going to find out where the Dynamo TV deal will end up this year. in the coming weeks here. Also, DJ Sun in the studio. You can call him Sun, or like I do, you can call him Andre, because I just want to keep him sharp. And Andre's in studio as well. Andre, what do you got going on lately with projects? I know you had the big party down at the museum. That was a big success. Tell me what else is going on.
We've got a show coming up at Discovery Green. And that's going to be the Lunar New Year. It's Chinese New Year.
This Sunday,
yes. Starts at 6 p.m. I had an opportunity to go to China. Asia Society Center funded that trip. I am part Chinese, and so I was able to do an ancestral quest and be inspired to do music. Brand new music is going to be performed. I made 7 pieces. We also took a ton of video and photography, so we'll make it an audio-visual performance to celebrate the Lunar New Year. There'll be additional bands as well and some artist installations. So a good time to celebrate Lunar New Year, Discovery Green, this Sunday, 6 p.m.
Website? Twitter?
Yeah, you can catch
it. Sun is shining, right?
Twitter? Yes, Sun is shining, Twitter. My handles are DJ Sun on Instagram and on Facebook. And there is an event page for Sunday's show as well on Facebook.
Excellent. All right, as we come back, I'm going to read you guys a top tweet we pulled. At Mike Firpo says, quote, Ashley Cole signing with the LA Galaxy adds to the perception that MLS is nothing more than a retirement league. Is that fair, Eddie?
After what he said, after what Ashley Cole said, it certainly doesn't do anything to dispel that.
But why would we focus on one guy? Come on. We can give a lot of good examples.
We can, but I think Major League Soccer has done enough to earn respect from players all over the world, coaches all over the world, fans all over the world. I think we've finally come into our own. We know where we are in the pecking order. But for someone to say something like that and then LA still bring him in, that bothers me.
Tell me what he said.
He said someone asked him if he was ready, if he wanted to go play in MLS, and he said he's not ready to go sit on the beach and relax yet.
He is now.
That's what he said. And for me, shove it. Take a hike. Get out of here. Roma don't want you.
But he's coming cheap. He's a 3-time World Cup guy from England. He's coming cheap. Bruce Arena thinks he's ready to play in Major League Soccer.
And if he has the same type of season that Steven Gerrard did last year, LA, I mean, they're not going to sit him on the bench. He's not going to sit on the bench. He's got to play. He has to play. And if he's terrible,
I focus on some of the younger signings. And here's where I'll say people are going to obviously flock Andre and Eddie to the Ashley Cole type signings because they're big names, right? But I go to Columbus, Emil Larsson, Odense, young talent. FC Dallas, interesting signing. Carlos Guezzo, 20 years old, played a couple of World Cup games for Ecuador in a World Cup, okay? LA, Emmanuel Boateng, played in Sweden, Helsingborgs. These are the types of signings that I think are excellent signings for the league. They don't have they don't have the star quality or the bang that a signing like Ashley Cole will have, but these are guys that could emerge and be real stars in the league.
Well, I mentioned,
and there are more of those signings than there are the Ashley Coles, by the way.
Sure. But those are the ones that are going to stand out.
I mean, if Ashley Cole was the only big name that was signed, there would be somebody out there who's going to go, "Oh, it's a retirement league."
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I mean, the flashy headlines, of course, show China signing Gervinho, Ramirez. These are guys that are under 30. And when you make the comparison, then, yeah, it puts the MLS in a light on the world stage that, hey, maybe that is where the older players go to kind of wind it down.
Jackson Martinez just signed in China, too.
Yeah, it's incredible. So
Drogba went there, but I thought had some problems getting his money.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he came back or why he left.
Well, he left for, I think we know why he left. I don't think he went there to eat Peking duck, did he? He went there because he got a boatload of cash, which I don't think he got all of it.
Right.
And he's coming back to Major League Soccer now.
Yeah.
For Montreal.
And that's what I mean. I don't know why he left China. It's still perception, and that perception needs to be combated.
But we also shouldn't get all tight-wadded about it. Who cares? I mean, the league's growing. Money's being spent. Some things are going great. Some things aren't. Some markets are better than others. You know, we'll always get, Eddie, the glowing reports from those within the league. And then if we look with our own eye test, we'll know that there's a lot of great things going on, more great than not. But there's also things that need to be improved. Some of it can only be improved through time, like the maturity of a player development system.
Yeah, but there's self-respect. Self-respect. You have to show some self-respect when it comes to a player like Ashley Cole for me. I know he came on a free transfer. He's only making $300,000 a year. But still, for me, it's all about self-respect. And Nigel De Jong, I mean, I think one of the dirtiest players ever. He covers around. He's effective. But, I mean, L.A. has not done anything to make me want to root for them with their signings. But like you said, you know, you look at a team like FC Dallas and, you know, they had a game last year. I think they had 7 homegrown players start and, you know, won the Western Conference. That's fun to see. And eventually you'll get guys like DeAndre Yedlin that MLS clubs will be selling on. Matt Miazga that MLS clubs will be developing and selling on. And then that perception starts to change. You have a couple guys that you move into your first team, a couple guys you sell, and that perception starts to change. Teams have more money to purchase some better, younger players closer to their prime. There's a lot to be said for self-respect as well.
Total base salary last year, and you always wonder about these figures, but total base salary, two teams that got to the semifinals, FC Dallas and New York Red Bulls, out of 20 teams in the league, were 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the amount they spent on salaries with their players. Number one team was Toronto FC, then LA, then New York FC, City FC, who was a disaster, then Orlando City, and then Seattle at about $10 million. Now, after Seattle, those top five teams, it all goes to $6 million on down to $3.5 million. So really, it's four or five teams that are spending the most money in MLS, and everybody else is finding other ways to try and skin the cat.
Smart. They're being smart about it. Columbus, New York, FC Dallas, they're being smart about it. These are teams that have implemented long-term plans that, you know, kind of like Claudio Ranieri. He created a plan and he stuck to it. You know, he's not changing his mind on anything. And that's what they're doing in FC Dallas. That's what they're doing at Red Bull. That's what they're doing in Columbus. And Greg Berhalter's been arguably the best coach in the league over the last 2 years. I mean, the guy, he's been a revelation for Columbus, but these are teams that create a plan. It's not, let's just go buy. Toronto FC has been, that's just been, their last couple of years for them have been ridiculous. LA Galaxy.
But by the way, where would we be without the Toronto FCs, the LAs, the New York City FCs, the Orlando's bringing in Kaká, and Seattle bringing in Obafemi Martins and Dempsey? We want those guys to spend money. That's okay. It's good for the league. We don't have to agree with the way they do it as purists, but you know what? Where would this league be without a lot of that star quality and those names helping to get the light shined on the league? We can critique the performance of these guys and say, did Clint Dempsey lived up to his money? Of course he didn't live up to it last year. But I'm so glad that there's guys taking the risk on bringing these guys over. And I don't mind if there's a few guys that people are saying are aging stars and there's a question mark as to what their commitment is to the league, because to see Steven Gerrard come to Houston and stand there and watch the game for 90 minutes, it was fascinating.
You know, I don't necessarily see a problem with that, but with Eddie, what, you know, saying what Ashley said, I stand by that as well. That's not something you publicly say and then you get signed by the same club that you say.
Athletes say dumb things all the time. We all in this room have said dumb things.
Yeah, but it's huge, man. He's going to go sit on the beach. Really?
Many a soccer player has said some pretty dumb things. Many a human has said dumb things. I mean, I've said dumb things. I don't think that dumb.
Because, I mean, I get that Los Angeles needs, you know, that type of star quality if they have. Well, I'm not even sure that they have apathy in their soccer stadiums. But, you know, when they're looking at their other sports, if they don't have that star quality, you've got people with other options and they don't go to the game.
Isn't it beautiful, Eddie, that LAFC is going to come into town with all these big owners and they're going to stir the pot out there? I love it.
I really do. I hope they take shots at the Galaxy. I hope they try to outspend them. I hope they have a lot of fun with it. I hope, you know, there's nothing would be greater than to have a serious LA rivalry.
At Leander Alphabet says, if Miazga's transfer fee really is $5 million, the Red Bulls' cut of that will cover most of their senior team payroll this season. Good business from the New York Red Bulls.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was the same thing when Seattle sold DeAndre Yedlin to Tottenham. You get this money that you can spend. The league takes some, and they give you allocation money, and that's stuff that you can use for players that maybe you wouldn't have signed before because you had a different idea about how you went about things. You weren't going to spend money. You were going to get quality players at cheap cost. But now they've got the opportunity to spend a little bit.
I think it's
What happens to the players? Do they get the proper development? Do they get the
here
proper
in the
looks?
U.S.?
Once they make the transfer, like sure. DeAndre.
Oh, I think Miazga's a big story too. You know what's going to happen to him, but you know these are the risks that come with everything. This is why Jordan Morris decided to stay here in the U.S. because he feels he's going to get a lot of minutes and play a lot. Maybe he didn't feel he was going to get that in Germany. Different strokes, different folks. I think if you're a national team manager here in the U.S. you want a handful of guys plying their trade in Europe so that they can bring those experiences back to the mix. And I think some home-based players also can add to the stability of the team as well. I don't think it's one or the other.
But you want them on teams that make sense, where they will actually develop playing time.
You hope their agent and the adult element around them helping them make decisions points to that. All right, that's going to do it. When I hear that music... Eddie, thank you very much for coming in. Real trooper tonight.
As always, I love seeing your face, Glenn.
Oh, I bet you do. Buddy, I saw you come in, you were smiling, all of a sudden you had a big frown on your face. Eddie Robinson in studio tonight here, March 6th. Dynamo will take on New England. Eddie, TV analyst, also a longtime star defender for the Houston Dynamo. And DJ Sun, they call him Sun.
Thanks, man.
Andre, thank you for coming. Yeah. You know what? We didn't even get to that Dutch Eredivisie topic.
Thank you for that.
But we will.
I appreciate that.
We love Dutch football. You know that. When you walk in the room, I think Johan Cruyff and Niskins and all the great Dutch soccer. For Tyler Scott, producing here tonight, also David Philpott, Glenn Davis. It's Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. It's Facebook, Soccer Matters. Instagram, Glenn Davis Soccer. We do all that social media stuff because we're once a week. And we want to keep this show in your mind. PodcastArena.com is where you get the podcast. Also on iTunes. By the way, we are the most downloaded podcast at this station. Good night.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.